From RunAsRadio.com, you're listening to Run As Radio, the internet audio talk show for IT professionals with Richard Campbell. This is Brandon Wen announcing show number 535, Azure Database for MySQL and Postgres, with guests Jason Anderson and Sunil Kamath, recorded Friday, May 12th, 2017. Run As Radio is produced each week by PWOP Productions, providing professional media and podcasting services online at pwop.com. You can follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/runasradio.
Thank you, Brandon. This is Richard Campbell. Thanks for listening to Run As Radio. I'm here at Build, sitting in the podcasting booth. It's like a little people aquarium. And I'm sitting with, it's James Anderson?
Jason Anderson.
Jason Anderson. I'm sorry, Jason. And Sumit?
Sunil.
Sunil. It's early in the morning. It was the attendee party last night. We all have scars.
The beer was pretty fine, yeah.
But just a ton of announcements coming out of Build. You know, we generally think of it as a dev show, but from an IT perspective, I'm really excited about some of the new database options. Obviously, Cosmos DB was this big plug. And you guys work in the Azure database space? So different specialties?
Yeah, Jason? So I'm the Azure Database for MySQL PM lead. So yeah, got to drive that product to announce the other day.
Nice. So this is MySQL running on Azure.
Yeah, this is MySQL as a managed database service in Azure, right?
Okay. Because we could always run it in a VM.
Absolutely.
But I would rather not have to own the OS and the updates, and you'll do that for me now.
Yeah, that's okay. Great.
And Sunil?
Yes.
I'll get it right, I swear.
You got it right.
Okay.
Yes. So my name is Sunil Kamath, and I'm the principal PM lead for the Azure Database for PostgreSQL, which is a managed database service on Azure for the open source PostgreSQL database engine.
Love it, love it, love it. And nobody can get away from MySQL. It's always somewhere, right? If you're going to stand up a WordPress instance or anything like that. And I had the good fortune to work on Postgres in the early days, and just had a lot of respect for a very coherent, you know, serious. It's probably one of my first exposures to production caliber open source product. So it's cool to have them now as services. Do we need to, maybe we should just run down this idea of why would I rather do it as a service than a VM?
You started off really well there, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, you can stand up a LAMP stack VM and sure. have MySQL in it and do your magic, right? The downside to that is you've got to manage the VM, and it's not just managing MySQL as a server instance itself and patching and so on. But it's also, you know, your Linux OS you have to manage. Mm-hmm. If you've got Apache running on there, obviously you got to keep up to date with that and so on. So the beauty of having a managed service for a database product like MySQL and Postgres is Microsoft does all that management for you. Right. So we take care of the OS. We take care of the database patching itself as mm-hmm. well. And even from an OS perspective, we're built on the same service fabric managed framework that SQLDB has been running on for years.
Wow.
Right. And we'll dive into what that means. But long story short, it's a proven architecture. We're not inventing something here.
No.
We're effectively taking MySQL Community Edition. Mm-hmm. So it's the MySQL you know and love today. We haven't done it. We haven't forked it. We haven't made any big contributions to it or anything. It is the same MySQL you're running today in Postgres. And we've put it on top of that management framework and made it available. So it's literally click and go.
Now, do I get to pick a version of MySQL in my manifest,
yeah.
or are you auto updating?
No, you don't even worry about the manifest. If you're gonna provision CLI, you can choose, but we offer MySQL 5.6 and 5.7.
Mm-hmm.
We do all the minor patching for you.
Right.
So the latest version, so 5.7.17, that's what's up there today. And if 18 comes out, we'll patch it on the back end, and you won't even know.
Right. And for those third tier patches, that doesn't change anything substantial. So you're not going to care. It's just fixed problems.
Exactly.
Theory.
Right. Yeah.
But I can stay with 5.7 even when 5.8 eventually appears.
8.0 and so on. Exactly, right. So as new versions, major versions come out, we will publish and make those available. Mm-hmm. And we'll be able to manage basically N-2, right? So you'll have two versions older if you're stuck on an older version.
And those are dot versions or?
No, those are the major
primary
versions.
Point versions.
Yeah, primary point versions.
Okay.
Yep.
Wow. So that's actually a lot of versions.
It is. So, I mean, the fact that we were able to bring the public preview with 5.6 and 5.7
mm-hmm.
gives you options right away,
yeah,
right? And then the same, Sunil could talk about the Postgres versioning, but it's the same exact
model. I don't know where Postgres is at. I haven't looked at it in a while.
Yes, I mean, Postgres has evolved rapidly mm-hmm. in the community, and it's now amongst the top four popular databases, relational databases, as ranked by DB engines.
Right.
There's a lot of open source frameworks that support Postgres out of the box, and has therefore become the app developer's default de facto database to use when they are building modern applications, be it analytics type of applications, ETL applications, small transactional workloads, etc. So, today in the managed services, we support both Postgres 9.5 and 9.6. And similar to MySQL, we also do the minor patching automatically without having the user even know that the patching has been done. We will also provide support to upgrade across major versions in the future as well.
So, and then that means the cloud too. So it's like I leave my existing Postgres database completely alone and say, hey, can you make a copy of this into this new version so we can take a look and see how it behaves? And that's just not a big deal.
Right. And that's, we believe, Microsoft has taken a very unique perspective on delivering managed services and the value of managed services to app developers. Mm-hmm. Typically, you find that a lot of cloud vendors, cloud providers that provide both MySQL and Postgres managed service, and there are also partner-led solutions that provide the service. But when we look at managed services specifically from an app developer perspective, it's not just about taking the infrastructure management away from the developer, but it is also about making it less and less critical to answer, do I need security? Do I need to manage capacity for my backups? Do I need to have a lot of thinking behind how much performance I need? And then when I want to scale, how do I go manage that?
Well, we're in the midst of this data storage crisis right now with the whole MongoDB exploit. And
yeah.
You know, that a lot of these products come with a default security setting that's awfully low. And unless you're diligent enough to really dig in and get it right, you could have some problems. And,
right.
You know, why? What I like about cloud services is I know the best people that know that stuff are going to do that because it's not me.
Right. So it's important to highlight that this managed services is not a managed services for database DBAs.
Right.
It's the managed services for the application developers.
Right.
And that's a big distinction. Mm-hmm. Because if you create a managed service for data DBAs, you are creating all kinds of different switches and options and complicate the whole management of the database.
Right.
So by taking that complexity away, what you're doing is really enabling the app developers not focus and manage the nitty-gritty details of the database, but rather focus on just developing their apps and innovating on their businesses.
Awesome. And what does it take to scale this out now? Like, how far can I go? How is there a transactional velocity? You know, what's the IOPS measures? Like, what do you do figure out how to deal with load?
Well, we've got a great level of different service tiers that are available. So today, or say back on Wednesday, I should say, on May 10th, we announced that we have our basic and standard tier available. A premium tier will be coming closer to when we go to GA, which is going to be around 2018. The key things, I mean, to answer your question around scale there. Mm-hmm. So the basic instance, just like its name implies, is designed to get you started.
Right.
So you've got a very price competitive tier there to get started at a low cost. That basic instance is based off of regular Azure storage, remote magnetic media, so you're not going to get IOPS out of that.
Right.
But again, you know, from a cost perspective, it's a great place to start. But having said that, for MySQL as an example, you know, a lot of companies, even enterprises, are doing, you know, microsites where they're presenting content to a user. It's not transactional back. There's not e-commerce happening. So these basic instances, in many cases, are fine for those. But if you need, for example, provisioned IOPS, you can go to our standard tier, which is based off of remote SSD, and out of the gate, you get 375 IOPS.
Wow.
So the way that works is we give 125 gigabytes of SSD. Mm-hmm. IOPS scaling is 3 IOPS per gigabyte, so it's 375. If you want to increase your IOPS, you just increase your storage, and you get IOPS proportionally to that scaling.
So see, it's really about buying faster storage.
That's part of it, right. Yeah. So the other part of it as well is we have multiple, inside that basic and standard and premium tier, multiple different SKUs or different performance levels you can choose. Mm-hmm. So what we're introducing with Azure Database for MySQL and PostgreSQL is the notion of a compute unit. Mm-hmm. A compute unit is a blended measure of CPU and RAM. Okay. So for those that are SQLDB folks, you're familiar with the DTU, the Database Transaction Unit,
yep.
which is similar. It's a little bit different, though, because they bundle the storage as a part of that. We've determined to actually pull the storage out and let you manage the performance of the storage separately from the CPU and RAM.
Interesting.
So to make it really easy for those out there, compute units, 100 compute units is roughly equivalent to a core. And we say roughly equivalent because the generations of hardware that we have through the Azure data centers, whether it's a Gen 2 or a Gen 5, cores are going to be different in their ability. So we scale that to ensure that if you get 100 compute units, for example, you're getting consistent performance across any data center in Azure.
Nice. But I also like, I mean, sometimes storage is just, and databases are just, you know, placeholders for simple things or a logical way to keep data in some kind of order, but the velocity is not that important. Sometimes they're very big blobs of data.
Right.
Sometimes so you get all the flexibility.
Yeah. That time, so, you know, we used to tinker with this in the mm-hmm. SQL world all the time where I'm going to have separate spindles for the transactional stuff because I need it to be really quick, but I've got these bigger pieces that they don't have to be as fast. They just need to be stored. And the fact that I could essentially describe that in the cloud, that's compelling to me.
Right.
Say, and also, again, it's, you know, the best thing I find about the cloud is that I can tinker for low cost. You know, going to your boss with a database and saying, I'm just not happy with the speed of it. I want you to drop $20,000 on MVEs for me. And maybe it'll make it better as opposed to, you know, I can set this switch and switch over to this SSD, you know, tier for this product, you know, for an hour. And let's see how it behaves. I mean, can I do that? Literally
yes,
just try these different tiers for just a little while?
You can try as little as 50 cents a day.
Right.
So
I just like that I can give it back. You know, even if I had to do it, commit to a whole day of it, the fact that I can just turn around and say, hey, that was really nice. Thanks very much. I'll go back to what we were doing.
Right. And we have customers that have migrated their production workloads to the service by just means of using the same community tools that they know and love.
Mm-hmm.
MySQL and Postgres, take a backup and do a restore using the same tools.
Yep.
And get up and running by flip of a button, changing the connection string, and do all this whole thing in a matter of hours.
Yeah, I would even say minutes. You know, I work a lot on these continuous delivery pipelines, and it would be pretty easy for me from an IT perspective working with some devs to say, could we try Postgres this way instead of in a VM to then provision that thing, get it there, tweak the pipeline. All right, you're running against it. Let's see what it looks like. Okay, let's try a different configuration of it. Try it again. Like I can do some really good iterative testing that way.
And the beauty of the way the service is implemented again on the Azure relational database platform is we have the ability to scale those instances up and down mm-hmm. on the fly.
Mm-hmm.
So you can start out with a basic 50, play around, take a look at our monitoring metrics. We've got a really great dashboard in the portal, so you can take a look at exactly how many compute units are being used,
right.
how many IOPS are being used. And if you decide that, gee, it looks like my compute units are really high, I could scale that up. Now, not just a standard. I could, if I wanted to scale from a 50 basic compute unit SKU mm-hmm. up to a premium 2000 when it's available, you'll be able to do that
right.
on the fly with no app downtime. So what nice. We do is we just spin that instance up, and as soon as it's up, we switch over. Server's down for maybe 30 to 45 seconds, but
right.
you know, resilient apps aren't going to see that. So
yeah.
it gives you a lot of flexibility, especially if you take a look at workloads that can be very cyclical. So mm-hmm. WordPress is a good example.
Sure.
You can think of a marketing website. You're going to run a promotion over a weekend. Your traffic's going to spike in anticipatory of 300%, right?
Yep.
So ahead of time, you scale that instance up. You go through your promotion. When you're done, you scale it down, right? So it allows you to control costs and have minimal impact to the user.
Yeah, no, that's very compelling. And well, Microsoft has had a WordPress installer on the website for a while, but it always provisioned MySQL in a kind of small way.
Yeah.
I hope they improve that installer to say, can I point
well,
to
it? Well, we have. And that's actually a key value prop. So, mm-hmm. you know, Sunil talked about this service is for developers, and it absolutely is.
Right.
But it's also for Joe, WordPress user that's not even really a developer
yeah,
that wants to buy a template, right? You can go into Azure Web Apps. You can provision a WordPress web app, connect it to Azure Database for MySQL. Mm-hmm. As part of that provisioning experience, click Next. It sets it all up for you, and that's it. It's,
yep.
it's literally that simple. So it's
yeah.
really, really beautiful.
And again, just tweak the knobs to see if you get if you're concerned about performance one way or the other. There's a lot of ways to solve that. Although, in the end, when it comes to a website, you need a better caching.
Yes, absolutely.
it's one of those fundamental truths. Jason and Sunil, give me 1 second here to pay the bills. because this episode of Run As Radio is brought to you by the Humanitarian Toolbox. Humanitarian Toolbox builds open source software for disaster relief organizations. And one of the leading projects, called Already, focuses on getting volunteers into the right place at the right time. Humanitarian Toolbox is deploying this application in the field right now in 2017, and they need your help. Go to htbox.org for more information or to make a tax-deductible donation. Humanitarian Toolbox is a 501c3 U.S.-registered charity. Can we talk a little bit about the reliability side of this? I mean, I just always presume that cloud-based databases are going to work, having, you know, spent some time with SQL Azure and the like. Is it any different?
Yes, it is. In fact, that's one of the key innovations that has been on the Azure Relational Database platform that has powered SQL Database and SQL Data Warehouse for many years. And that is the built-in HA capability. And what that really means is that you do not, as a developer, have to focus on creating another virtual machine, set up the replicas, manage all those moving parts for just maintaining your availability. The service out of the box provides this capability where, in case there was going to be your virtual machine or your database workload is going to be down for whatever reason, we will bootstrap and get it up as quickly as we can, and then just change the connection string all in less than 30 seconds.
Nice.
So this built-in HA capability does not have you require to set up another virtual machine and do replication for majority of the workloads.
Right.
But we do recognize that there would be some workloads for which the 30-second delay for changing the connection string might be unsuitable.
Right.
So we're not saying that this is like suitable for all 100% of the apps out there, but for the majority of the apps, now they can enjoy this built-in HA without having to worry and set up any replicas.
Yeah, 30 seconds is not that long a time. Like, I really look at it, again, from a web perspective. It's like, as long as I'm inside that two-minute connection window so the page doesn't barf, we can recover.
And you've got your caching set up properly. Most of the pages are going to be cached.
Yeah.
It's not a problem.
Yeah,
right.
It's totally sustainable. What about geo distribution so that I can keep a copy closer to Europe, keep a copy closer to South Asia?
So what we do have in a service is the backups. The backups are geo-redundantly stored in another Azure region pair.
Okay.
That means if the region were to go down, then we also have access to the backups in another geo pair that you could use to restore.
How often is the backup taken?
The backup is being taken every 5 minutes.
Okay.
And then continuously we are doing the log backups as well.
Right.
So you can point in time restore to any time up to 35 days. And that includes even the capacity required to manage all the backups.
And this is part of the Azure backup service? Is this specific to Azure database?
This is specific to the Azure database.
Okay,
and this is specific to the Azure database platform services.
Okay.
And is common across SQL database, SQL data warehouse, and now extended to MySQL and Postgres.
So what's important about that is that we're not spinning up a replica, like a read replica that you can promote to master. That's a whole different server instance. What Sunil is saying is we maintain replicas of your database, the copies of it. It's part of the platform.
Right.
So what that really means, no additional cost for that database, right? Now, your question about read scale out. So read replicas are going to be coming in a couple of months.
Okay.
And we'll be able to support read replicas across all geos as well. So if you want to have, you know, all around the world, so you can have that read scale capability, that's going to be coming.
That's cool. But it's restore to any point of time in 5 minute increments for the past 35 days.
Yes.
So if a corruption creeped in last week.
Yes.
We could go back into the
just click one button and you get your data back.
Go all the way back to the chip. Well, you know how it is. I've gone out and pulled the tapes and restored different versions trying to figure out when did this corruption occur.
Like, right.
To try and get it, save as many transactions as possible. So it's nice to have it a little more automated. And then if I do want to take a snap of you know, year end state of the database.
Yes. So the service provides you automatic backups for recovery to any point up to 35 days. You can also take manual backups.
Right.
If you want and store it in the Azure Blob, if you will.
Yep.
So because you're using the same common tools,
yep.
Like either a Postgres PG dump and a PG restore or a MySQL dump and a restore. So you're using the same community tools that you've always been using.
Not to put words in your mouth, Sunil, what you're saying is that MySQL and Postgres are first-class citizens in the Azure world now.
Absolutely, it is. Yeah. And not only it's a first-class citizen on Azure, it is also the same MySQL and Postgres that you use anywhere in the world, be it on-prem or any of the cloud or wherever.
I would even say that we're first class in the cloud.
Right.
That's a bold statement, right? So the reason you know I'm saying that is, you know, I alluded to about and Sunil did, about backups, for example.
Sure.
There's no configuration, right? That's important, right?
Yep.
It just happens. But the second piece is you don't have to worry about managing your storage for those 35 days of backup.
Right.
Other cloud vendors, you have to configure. You say, okay, I provision a database server. I'm going to provision 100 gigabytes of storage. You have to then manage, are my backups going to fit in that or not, and so on. We take care of that and abstract it from the storage that you get when you provision our services. So if you provision 125 gigabytes to our service, that is your data for your databases. And that's it. Backups are invisible in the back. We pay that cost for you. It's a fundamental. We believe fundamentals should just be a part of the
service. You're going to pay for 125 gigs of storage. You're also paying for a sufficient backup for the 125 gigs of storage.
Correct.
It's part of the price.
Correct.
Right. Exactly. Built in. No surprises. Right?
Exactly.
Oh, you wanted safe data. Surprise.
Yeah.
It just seems crazy to me, right?
Yeah.
It's like, no, I came here for a reason. I wanted stuff to be reliable and safe. So, like, well, that should just be part of the price. You shouldn't not be able to buy it. Can I buy a really dangerous version of a Postgres database? You know, something unstable
not
and
from Microsoft.
Exactly. Right? Like, it seems madness to me that we have to have that conversation. I'm glad you guys are doing it. It really seems very sensible.
Yeah. The value doesn't stop there at all. I mean, it extends with built-in monitoring and metrics for historical data access for up to 30 days.
Do you do the app insights? Like, I get emails all the time from Azure letting me know how I could tweak up my SQL database to make it a little more efficient. Index suggestions, those kinds of things.
Yeah, we're not integrated into app insights today.
Yes.
But that's a part of our roadmap.
I'll give you a V1 here, Sunil. I think that's okay.
Yeah.
But please, yeah, could you get there? What about the extension models? Things like the spatial tools for MySQL or do you know Martin? We did a great show a while ago on the Martin extension for Postgres for doing blob storage and things.
Yeah, Postgres is very popular for exactly that reason because it's very extendable. There is a lot of variety of extensions that Postgres supports. And today, as we announced on May 10th, we are supporting about 18 PostgreSQL extensions.
Oh, interesting.
And that includes PostGIS, which is the most popular extension used with Postgres.
Right.
For geospatial applications. And also it includes a variety of different, like, crypto extensions, and language extensions. And we know and realize that this is something that more we have to do.
Right.
And we are waiting for customer feedback, in expanding the number of extensions we support.
It's got to be some labor for you to validate the extension's going to run properly in your infrastructure.
Yes. So, the extensions fall into two buckets, right? Mm-hmm. And one of the bucket is those extensions that are available as part of the community edition of the Postgres engine itself.
Right.
Those are proven. Those are, stable and, widely used.
Yep.
But then you also find a lot of third party, companies that create extensions and sell extensions.
Right.
And our vision is to have customers the choice to be able to download third-party extensions in the future.
Okay.
So we realize the beauty of Postgres is extensibility, and we want to open that as much as we can, still guaranteeing that as a managed service, we can still deliver all the
First and foremost comes managed service reliability, scalability.
We can't afford to have third-party code on our service impacting the availability of the service.
Right.
So
that's fair.
We have to draw
I don't know
a
where Martin falls into that spectrum, actually. It's a third-party open source. library.
Yes. So today we do not support any. So right. It's part of our vision. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, we have to vet it. We have to make sure that it doesn't expose any security holes or security gaps.
Yes.
Reliability exposure, security, right?
So we have to. And each time you add one of these, you're also adding on an obligation for when they update, it needs a new security review. Like this is going to get a gradually more and more expensive bar for you.
Yeah.
Hopefully, you get it all under control, but. I mean, I'm sympathetic to, I would love to have all these things. I understand because I expect you guys to be secure, reliable, and so forth, that you're going to have to go through a process to make that work.
Correct.
At least it's on the roadmap that there's an option there.
Well, we are just getting started, and we are very ambitious to take it to a level that no other cloud provider has done.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. We also want customer feedback. It's not just about bringing the natural capabilities of Postgres and MySQL out to satisfy the users, but it is also about how do we now next integrate into the rest of the data services and the app services on Azure so that a developer can come and build an end-to-end rich intelligent app on the Azure cloud seamlessly with just a few clicks.
And when it's up and running and he turns around to his IT guy and says, hey, take care of this for me. He hasn't done anything horrible. Right? I do like the fact that it's a set of services for me as an IT guy to be able to go, okay, I get you did that. You've got your prototype. They decided to ship it. Now we don't have to tear it down and start over because we'll move it over to the company accounts and we'll manage it properly. And it's just part of our overall management strategy.
Right. And more importantly, once your data is in, now if you want to extend that data, for example, integration with Azure Data Factory, integration into the data lake, Azure Data Lake. And if you want to take the data on the Postgres and create an enterprise data warehouse out of it, so how do you put that into the Azure SQL Data Warehouse?
Sure.
So we have customers already asking for all of these. Now that we just started in the last 48 hours, we have got a huge pile of requests. When are you going to do this with ADF? When are you going to do this with SQL Data Warehouse? So we're really excited about what we are hearing thus far.
It's got to be a good feeling as a product owner that when people's reaction to the product is to ask you to just do more.
Yeah.
As opposed to, why would I do that? But it's like, oh, thank goodness. Can you also do this for me?
Yeah. It was amazing. As just as we announced on May 10th, Scott Gu announced that now about approximately 9 o'clock. I mean, by 10, 11 o'clock, we already had one request for feature in our user voice. So, it tells you how...
The keynote's not over yet.
Yeah, now the real work begins, right?
So look what you've done.
you alluded to security earlier, right?
Sure.
Talking about the MongoDB exploits and so on. Number one, one of the beauties about Azure as a platform is, we have a mantra that we implement across all services of being secure by default.
Mm-hmm.
And Azure Database for MySQL and PostgreSQL are no different, right? So, number one, you get the native authentication mechanisms that are built into PostgreSQL and MySQL out of the box. Because, again, we don't change those engines,
right?
So, if you can set up specific user accounts for your database within MySQL to give certain specific access, read-only, and so on, right? But on top of that, we also implement, firewall rules, right?
Yep.
So you don't want to, if you're exposing your IP address as a public endpoint, you want to be able to limit who can have access to it. So that's enabled, obviously. Also, SSL connections between the database and your applications are enabled by default.
Right? So encrypt all the time.
Yeah, but now we've found, though, that through the MySQL community, specifically Postgres as well, a lot of the common frameworks, like WordPress, for example, even Magento and so on, don't enable SSL by default.
Right.
You do the default installation, you've got to go in and edit your wpconfig file to set that up. So it can be a little bit challenging.
It's an extra step.
Exactly. So one of the things that we did to make that a little bit easier is if users choose, we don't recommend this, but if users choose to, they can easily disable SSL in the portal or through CLI in order to have that. And
you're going to come at it from a secure configuration, but you're not going to stop them from unsecure.
Again, it's all about choice. You want to give customers the ability to do what they need to do to keep their business running.
But I think that's a good corollary to the Mongo exploit, where the issue was the default mode was not secured.
Right.
So people that weren't paying attention fell into this trap, as opposed to the default mode being secured. So if you're not paying attention, you're probably okay.
Yeah, we provide pretty detailed documentation on how to configure SSL.
Well, this is what I like about the service model. You only make money when I can actually use your product.
Right.
You know, otherwise you don't make money. So you're pretty incented to get me over that hump.
Right.
Yes, it's all about meeting the developers where they are.
Mm-hmm.
But while at the same time, building enough robust security mechanisms in the service.
Mm-hmm.
For example, making sure that an application that today does not enable SSL connects into a secure isolated container on our infrastructure. Making sure that those doesn't get then exploited.
Right.
With others. So having those boundaries.
Yeah.
Making sure that those boundaries are real bulletproof.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that is the work that we had to do. Making sure that, yes, we'll support SSL and non-SSL. It's not as simple as, okay, we'll support non-SSL.
Right.
It's making sure that we don't extend that exploit across.
And then the third level of security, which is just native to Azure. So all of your data that's stored, your databases, your backups are encrypted by default.
Right.
Right. So you have that encryption there. So you have encryption at rest through SSL, encryption in motion.
Mm-hmm.
It's the most secure by default MySQL and Postgres implementation you can find in the cloud.
Yeah. Well, and the cloud has this sense of security of, you know, which server is it, right? I've been in a couple of your cloud data centers. That's a lot of machines. Like it's somehow very anonymizing. It's like it's all these workloads. They're somewhere in here, and I've been through the, you know, guy was running a scam site out of a little ISP and got the ISP gets served with a warrant and they took the whole data center, every customer's system. And it's just, you know, part of me looking at the cloud is just going, that's physically impossible. When you're living on the cloud, they just can't, they couldn't do that. That wouldn't happen. But I do appreciate, you know, I feel like my experience is certainly working with some of the cloud products that you can help me do make the right choices as an IT guy too. So when you come at me with it, it's already SSL. You're going to need a cert. Here's the right way to get one. Oh, you're working with WordPress. These are the switches you need to flip to be able to get there. Like that path. It's not like I don't want to do the right thing. It's that I got this much time, you know, I got 5 minutes to get this up and running. And as soon as I get lost in a, I don't know what cert to buy, I can't do this right now. Turn it off, move on. And you never get back. So as long as we keep that workflow really painless so that we can do the right thing, I think we will. I'm hopeful. Well, congratulations, guys. I'm really excited about this. You know, those have always been very respectable products. I love that I don't have to own them anymore. I can just use them when I need them. And you really are in trouble. I think your customers are going to hit you pretty hard with, I want this, and I want this, and I want this. They're always going to want more things. But that's just a good problem to have.
We just now have the weekend to relax, and then we're back to business on Monday.
Yeah, here you go.
So I'd say on that point, if folks have feedback for us, please go up to the Azure Feedback Forums. There's a forum for Azure Database for MySQL. Mm-hmm. There's a feedback forum for Azure Database for PostgreSQL. It's the best way for us to get feedback because, you know, you can upvote things and downvote things. And so we can really see what customers are interested in. So please visit that.
And we've talked about this before. You guys really read those. Anything that gets written in user voice, it gets around the table with the team.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
We've already responded to so many of those requests.
Yeah.
And also to add to what Jason said, also, if you're interested in following us on Twitter, mm-hmm. we have dedicated Twitter handles for both the MySQL and Postgres service. So it's AzureDB Postgres
mm-hmm.
and AzureDB MySQL.
I think it's actually at AzureDB for PostgreSQL, right?
No, there's no for. It's AzureDB Postgres, AzureDB MySQL.
Okay. And it's at AzureDB MySQL, right?
Okay.
So Sunil was right. I was wrong. It's early. I need another cup of coffee.
Yes.
But please check us out. That's where we're going to be.
Yes.
You know, putting all those links in the show notes so that folks can grab them and, provide you with some feedback.
Good.
Great.
Jason, Sunil, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Hey, thank you for having us.
Thank you for having us.
My pleasure. And we'll talk to you next time on Run As Radio.